You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everyone. This is Radio Rehab. Ms. Seif is not here today. My name is Robin. I'm trying to fill in for her and welcome you to the program. As you know, this program is trying to reach out to people in the community and give them information about people with addictions and how they can get some help. This morning, I guess, is a gentleman of the community who's well-known in many circles, not only as a recovering individual, but also as a father and a counselor. And we'd like to welcome James to the show. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Thank you, Robin. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Glad to have you here. I've seen you around the community myself here for a few years. I think the number one question I'd like to ask you first, James, is what is the most prevalent drug use you see right now in the community that you deal with? What kind of type of drugs are they people using these days for the most part?
Basically, it's basically cocaine, meth, and marijuana, and of course alcohol.
All right. I know talking to you earlier, you have 8 years in recovery right now yourself.
Correct.
I know that we were talking earlier that your prior experience with this drug had got you in prison at times, and right now you've got 8 years of clean time. And basically, you want to go out there and tell people how you do this one day at a time.
Well, basically, it's a program that I, after coming out of rehab, I just continue on with what was given to me there. And one day at a time, I continue to do it. And that's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program.
Well, that's great. For those of you who listen to this program, if you'd like to call in and ask some questions, our number here is 424-1400 or 1-888-786-7846. I'm sorry, that's 1-888-846-7867. We'd appreciate your calls this morning. I know that you started up a meeting of your own in dealing with drugs. Would you like to comment on that, James?
Yes. At Mount Olive Galilee Baptist Church, 825 Lyon Street, we have a Cocaine Anonymous support group there called CAS. The group was started in 2001. Then the leadership of the church up under Pastor Floyd Edwards there. Now, up under Robert L. Sanders, we continue this 12-step program.
Do you see a lot of young people coming to your meetings now, or is it mainly older folks?
Basically, we have four meetings a week, and the Tuesday meeting we have is a relapse prevention meeting, and here in the last 3 to 6 months, we've been seeing a lot of younger fellows attending and females between 14, 16, 18 years of age that's suffering with the addiction of marijuana.
Yeah, I know this is one question that always comes up, particularly in the black community. Do you see where the black community is helping to get the young people into recovery now, or do you think the attitude towards drug use has changed in the black community these days?
I think actually that the flow of the chemicals in the community, quote unquote, by me not being an active user, I don't know just how it's flowing in nowadays, but I do know that we're seeing more younger people coming into the room of recovery that shows that it's still taking place in this, you know, in our neighborhood, in society. And they're coming in at younger ages now, more so than when I first got introduced to this program a few years back.
Do you still think there's a stigma among the black races as far as drug use goes? Do we still want to put that in the closet these days? Or?
Yes. As far as like cocaine, meth, something like that, I noticed at our meetings we have, we're right there in the cocaine, meth community, and at our meetings you don't see the ones that's coming there asking for help as opposed to you seeing them walking and turning the corners in the blocks of the neighborhood, you know. So, yes, it seems like it's something that keeps them from wanting to come.
Right. James, I know that you are also married to a lady in recovery. Does that offer you many challenges as far as y'all's relationship and your recovery goes?
Well, my wife and I both work together hand in hand. At Mount Olive, she also do Sister of Faith meeting at the church. So we're usually talking situations out as we go about our daily lives, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's you and I have a lot in common because we're both married to ladies in recovery, and there's quite a difference between our recovery times and. Yeah. And a lot of times I know I've talked before that we have to allow our mates to work their own program while we have to work our own program.
Right.
But do you feel like that your recovery is a lot easier because you're married to somebody in recovery than if you was married but not in recovery?
Well, you know, I feel that I have someone that better understand me, better understand some of my my feelings at time and my action that... You know, when I'm at a low spot, you know, in my life or something taking place that I can better relate to her than I can to someone that don't know actually what I'm going through, because them are the times that the disease of addiction can come upon you unexpectedly, and you need someone to be able to relate with that can understand best what you might be going through.
I definitely agree with you there. I know for many of the young people coming into the program, or into any kind of 12-step program, one of the biggest things they have to deal with is relationships. And they have a tendency to always want to reach out and grab somebody in recovery right off the bat and think they're going to help them. You have any opinion on newcomers coming in about getting into relationships or anything like that?
Well, I actually believe in the suggestions that you hear around the room that, you know, a person coming in need to really get himself a chance to really get to know who they are in their newfound life, in their recovery life. The program suggests that you wait a year or so before you get involved in any serious relationship or make any major financial decisions. And that worked for me, so for another one, you know, they need to get themselves a chance.
Yeah, I agree with you. I know there's part of the program talks about we are so busy trying to reach outside of ourselves for what we need to find inside of ourselves. I know you had a long history of drug use, so before you got into recovery, did you go in and out of the program very many times before you finally decided this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Yes, Robert. I've got introduced to the Nominous program back in something like 76. And I've covered a lot of areas of different states in with the disease of addiction as far as rehab. And it's a process that has to take place. And throughout that process in my recovering world today, you know, I found out I just wasn't ready to surrender at them certain times in my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you explain to people that anything particularly happened at the time you decided to finally, you know, get into recovery? Or would they talk about the bottom? Or was there anybody influenced you into recovery or just going to meetings and seeing the people there?
Well, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I didn't really know how to stop using, you know. But I found out that dealing with people in my life. I got caught up in a case that was fortunate enough that was needed in my life to save my life. And through this Vandenberg County court system, I was able to get my disease arrested. And then I took other measurements.
Well, that's good. I always heard that, you know, this program doesn't work unless we want it, no matter how we get into it. And I think the courts today are doing a great job of getting people, you know, giving them an opportunity to get into recovery. And I know you as a sponsor of a lot of people. Do you see the court system working a lot better as far as getting people into recovery, or do you see it as a handicap sometimes?
You know, it basically depends on the person's willingness. You know, once you get caught up in the system and in there, then that's where the decision come at. If you really want this, are you just going to go through this because I'm caught up right now with in the system? So that really depends upon that individual.
Yes, I think you're right there. You know, it's great that the court system gets them in there, but the person has to have the willingness to do what they want to do with their lives. I've known you for quite a few years now, and do you? I guess one question I've been asked is, do you feel that your church going or in the past or today helps your recovery as well, or do you just? I see a lot of people deny one and go to the other. You know, it's either all church or RA or NA or whatever, or it's a combination of both. How do you feel about that?
Well, with me, it's definitely a combination of both, because I separate both of them on a spiritually and a godly thing. And in doing so, I'm able to continue to work with this 12-step program, because as I continue to work them steps and live within the tradition, that give me the growth to continue to open the Bible and to find out what God will do for me through the 12 steps. I have a particular book at home, and it's a 12-step biblical Bible that relates the 12 steps straight back to the Bible. So as I do my study and everything, then I'm able to find out just where I'm at in my walk of life. I study both books.
Well, James, what do you say to the individual, if somebody comes around you and talks about being an atheist or agnostic? Do you tell them that they can get this program without necessarily the God of your understanding in their lives, or going to church or anything like that?
Well, you know, I believe all of us have a freedom of choice in to believe and to accept what we want to believe. But I could tell you a little theory about, I heard a joke or so that I heard in the program about this atheist and the agnostic and the one that believe in the science fiction theory and all. But, you know, I also read somewhere in the big books, in Bill's story, where it talks about how a guy went off and was how he came to believe. And we have a book that floats in the fellowship, and it's on a spiritual basis called I Came to Believe. And if a person gives himself the chance to research some literature, I believe they'll find out more about themselves than they really are aware of.
Yes, I know myself that the program works on a spiritual basis and not necessarily on thank God, not on a religious thing, you know, and that is what can save me now, is coming to this program. For those that come in here worried about the God thing, this program does work, because it doesn't, you know, dictate what kind of your God should be or not. You also have, I know a lot of times I see you around your grandkids and everything, and you take them to meetings with you and things like that. Are you hoping to get them started early in some sign of recovery, or?
I thank God that I was able to enjoy this part of my life, that I'm able to enjoy my grandkids and my kids today. And, you know, I always tell my grandkids, I said, well, come on, let's, you want to make a meeting with me, you need a meeting in your life. And, you know, they always ran ready to go, you know. And in the meeting, they get a chance to practice some patience in their life because they have to sit still and kind of listen a little bit. And, you know, I think in other areas that this meeting facilities and all, people can practice different areas of a life that can bring them into being able to find out something about themselves, you know, other than just reading the words. You got to come to understand, you know.
Right.
So as they come, maybe they'll get something out of it, and they don't have to go through the last, the first 15 years of their life in the misery and the pain of addiction, you know. So it could be good for them, you know.
Yes, I agree with you there. I've had opportunity to have some of my children in the meetings with me, you know. And along those lines, you know, when we come into recovery, did you find it hard to face your family or go back and talk with your family and share with them about your recovery? Or did you think they didn't understand when you went back to talk to them after you got clean?
You know, I found that I was always able to talk to my family about situations that took place in my life. And usually when I shied away, I didn't discuss it. It was because I didn't step forward to present them with this issue, you know. And the doors or the arms have always been open for me, you know.
Well, that's great. I know there are, the Big Book talks about sometimes that when we get into recovery, we actually lose the people we love. And I think for the newcomer, it's hard to understand. Did you find that situation at all with you, or did people run away from you because of your recovery? Or
I found one area that I had got out of place. I wanted them, some of my younger generation in my family, to have what I had during that time, you know, and I might have imposed or tried to force some recovery up on them, you know, but and I was told that I need to just let them be them and me be me. And when I did that, when I stepped back out of the way, then they started coming and accepting Uncle James as to who Uncle James really was in his new life, you know, and I get the utmost respect from them today, you know.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about sponsorship. Could you tell the people out there a little bit about what sponsorship's about and how important it is in your recovery?
Yes. One of the greatest feelings that I've received in this program is to see another alcoholic addict come up out of the belly of the beast and start living a fruitful life. It does my heart good when I know that a person don't have to wallow in that mess any longer. One of the things about sponsorship is that you have to walk a person through the steps of recovery. And it's a process that you go through with this person. And it's highly suggested that men work with men and women work with women. And I found that theory really works if you just keep your direction focused on working with that man. I've worked with quite a few guys that have come up out of the jails and come up out of institutions, rehab and stuff like that, and I've seen quite a few of them get their lives back together, their families restored, jobs, and become productive members of society again, you know, and that's a feeling that you just can't really explain how one feels when you see a person come from the lowest part of the gutter and now start back living life on life terms, quote unquote, you know.
Yes, I understand, you know, I think the reward of sponsorship is so much greater as well for the sponsor that the sponsee doesn't realize a lot of times that we need them. as much as they need us, you know. And the program says, you know, if I don't give it away, then I can't keep it. Yeah, I think one of the surprising things was, you know, in our past, we've always looked for ways to get paid for what we did, whatever it was. If it wasn't money involved, we weren't doing it. And we find out in recovery that sponsorship is so much more than that, because it gives us back what was given to us freely.
One of the things about sponsorship that I found is that you need to set some guidelines with your sponsors, because I found myself at one area in early sponsorship, in early recovery, when I was sponsoring people. I found myself getting so tied up and so involved in a relationship with them that as one would start doing certain things that wasn't suggested, I wasn't in the program, and you see him falling back out into the world, back out drinking and drugging, how that disrupted my sanity, how that took and affected my walk with him, you know?
Right.
So now I kind of separate my feelings a little bit, that I'm not so tied up into a personal life that if one happened to fall down, that I'm hurting and I'm feeling his pain. I feel his pain, but I'm not drowning in his tears.
Yes, I understand that. You know, we were sharing the other day about the fact that being a sponsor has a lot of responsibility, but also we need to make people aware that sponsors are just people in recovery. And, you know, sometimes they fall off that pedestal that they get put up on. And we need to recognize that that there's just one member in the recovering community. And if they fail, there's still somebody there to help you. Don't let them, you know, make you run away from the program. I know many times I actually had one that failed, but I didn't go back out. I just went and got somebody else and keep on working the program. I know one time you told me about an experience you had at a halfway house, I believe it was up north somewhere, and how you worked the program and everything was going great, and then you flunked out.
Yeah. I was a director of a halfway house up in Chicago back in around 86 or something like that, and called Bill's family. And I had helped them put together a couple of recovering houses and doing the construction part of the building, breaking apartments down into units so that they could house, you know, 3 to 5, 6 men in one room and working back into society, you know. And I had gotten so burned up and dealing with that in such a long period of time that I really should have took a vacation or something. But I didn't, and in the process of doing that, I end up going back out, you know. Mm-hmm. And no one is exempt to, you know, finding that misery and pain to get out there again. But I know that if we keep our daily maintenance up, you know, I just don't have to do that today, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the tools of recovery that has been so freely given to me. And how it works, it says, rather have we seen a person fail, but dare to follow our path. So if I follow that path of the ones that came before me, then I'd never have to find a reason to go back out again, you know, because I got the tools of recovery, you know.
That's great, and that's the way the program works. I've heard the old timers say, you know, that the first line should be, never have we seen a person fail if they're to follow that path. You talked about daily maintenance. Is that a big deal every day, or is that some simple things that we can do to stay clean and sober just for the day?
That's a big deal and something that we have to do to stay clean for today. Yeah, it's a daily process. I mean, I don't try to get off into tomorrow so much, you know, as to deal with my maintenance, you know. I pray for the day, you know, and I work the tools, the literature that I read and stuff like that. It speaks about today, just for today, you know. And tomorrow, you know, is a mystery, you know. I just don't know about it, you know.
So what are the things that you advise newcomers coming into the program to do just on a daily basis? I know there's some basic things they need to do every day as new in the program. Could you tell us what some of the basic things are?
First and foremost, though, is that they need to get off into a praying session, that they need to know how to start their day off with a prayer. And, you know, how that's suggested to you, whether you want to, you know, bow on your knees or go in the closet, that's while you're walking, that's really left up to you. But praying and reading your literature, you need to call someone and stay in touch with us. You need to get a sponsor.
Right.
You know, the program even suggests that you make 90 meetings in 90 days. You need to do that, you know. And behind the suggestions that you hear, it's a spiritual thing that that's to take place. And before you know it, you know, things are happening. And it don't seem like you're doing anything, but it's just happening. It seems like that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world is doing for you that you can't do for yourself, you know?
Right.
And it just, you know, it's just a new life, you know, that, man, it's just great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I see you know, you're smelling all the time, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
I think, though, you know, we talk about the basis of the program, and what I was always told was, you go to meetings, you read a big book, you pray, you talk to your sponsor, you know, and those are some of the things we have to do on a daily basis. And if we keep doing those, we'll grow. I like you mentioned, you know, the big book, the lines in there. But what young people need to also hear is that the big book doesn't have any demands and doesn't have any musts in it, you know. It's all about suggestions. We don't. The program doesn't tell you anything that you have to do.
Yeah.
I think for recovering people, it's hard to be feel like they have to do something. So the program just says, you know, we just suggest that you do something. Yeah. Well, James, we really enjoyed you today. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the program? Or?
Yes. You know, I really feel that it seems like that we're getting into a new era, whereas the younger generation becoming adults sooner than they are in numbers, you know, and we look up and we know that the drugs in the community is still doing what they're known to do, and that's kill, steal, and destroy. And how do we protect our younger ones that's coming about, that's at the ages of 8, 10, 11, on down to birth, you know? I just can see that the future still go have what it has to offer. And, you know, it's another form of slavery that takes place with our addiction, that keeps a person from growing and reaching the height in life that they can actually have. The nature of the chemicals will not change. It's going to do what it's known to do, and it's been doing this for centuries after centuries, and that's destroying people's lives, tearing up families. It just happened, you know. It's nothing good about it, you know. If you look at the bottles of alcohol in Kentucky, it talks about a spirit, an evil spirit, you know. So, yeah, you know, it's something that it's a community, it's a nation, it's a world problem. And we need to get this stuff arrested some type of way so that our kids can grow and have wholesome lives without going to penitentiary jails and without killing themselves.
Thank you, James. Thank you all for listening. Please join us again next week at this time. This has been Radio Rehab. You have a good day. Thank you.